Okay. So we are now, we're up to Parshat Chayisara in our power series. Parsha overview with enlightening reflections. Gotta love the name. All right, here we go. You ready? Are you ready? Okay, just sit. We gotta get started. Here we go. The entire Parsha, Parshat Chayisara, takes all of 3 years. That's it. 3 years. When I think about Bereishit with 1,500 years. Parshat Chayisara is 3 years. From the death of Sarah until the marriage of Yitzchak. Now, after the Akedah, Avram must have run home to tell Sarah the great news. Yitzchak's alive. Last second reprieve. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no problem. Only to find out that Sarah had died. According to the Midrash, because she found out about the Akedah, she had a heart attack. Now, this might also explain why it says Avraham came to eulogize Sarah, but there's no mention of Yitzchak. According to Rabbeinu Bachaye, very interesting idea, said Avraham chose not to tell Yitzchak about his mother's death because he didn't want to cause him like this tsar that it was the Akedah that caused his mother's death. So Avraham kept him in the dark for the time being. I never heard that idea. I thought that was interesting. Now, we are told that Sarah died at 127, but it says that she lived at to 7 and 20 and 100. Sheva v'esrim u'me'ah. According to the Midrash, and a slight and a different gear so than what we have in our standard Rashi, why do we have it in these three ways? Sarah was at the age of 100 as she was beautiful when she was 20. And she was 20 as sinless as she was at the age of 7. Right? She's a big deal. Both of those fits in nicer than the usual Rashi that we're accustomed to. But she's beautiful at 20 and without sin at 7, pre-bat mitzvah age. This is talking about Sarah. Now, what's more interesting to me is the next line of Rashi. It says, and all her years were good. All her years were good? I mean, was Rashi reading the Chumash? I read the Chumash. Very hard to say all of Sarah's years were good. I mean, we're introduced to Sarah in Lech Lecha, where she said, yeah, uproot, leave your family. Only to get to Eretz Yisrael, where there's a famine. Only to go down to Egypt, where guess what? My husband told everyone I'm a sister, and now Paro decided to take me into his palace. Only to have sometime later another famine, and they go to the land of the Plishtim, and Avimelech takes me into his palace. Okay, then I can't have any kids, so I suggest to Avram, you know, maybe you should take Hagar. He goes, no problem. He takes Hagar, and oh, she gets pregnant in 3 seconds. All of Sarah's life was pleasant? Really? I mean, a little difficult to say that. I think what you must say is Sarah accepted everything in her life with equanimity. Sarah accepted everything with perfect emunah. I was speaking about it earlier today, that you could be bumps in the road, but how do you view it? Do you get depressed, or do you view it as a challenge? And it's something that I can overcome. All right? Nothing daunted Sarah. Nothing threw her for a loop. She just continued to go on with her emunah. That is the godless of Sarah. Maybe that's what it meant. Okay. Now, it's interesting. The name of the parasha is Chaye Sarah. Chaye Sarah means the life of Sarah. And yet, it deals with the death of Sarah. Death of Sarah. Sort of weird to call the parasha Chaye Sarah. All right, similarly, parasha Vayichi deals with the death of Yaakov. So, like, what's with all this chai stuff when we mean mace? What's going on? So there's a very beautiful idea, which I think has so much validity to it, and that is when you fulfill your potential and leave a legacy to continue your derech, as if the person continues on. Okay, I didn't get a chance to say this in one of my earlier shiurim, but like, how amazing was Yahushua? It says that Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe that I know that after you die, Am Yisrael is going to rebel and go after Avodah Zarah. And yet, Rashi points out, all throughout Sefer Yeshua, they don't go after Avodah Zarah. What does that show? That when the Talmud lives on in the derech of his Rebbe, it's like the Rebbe never died. Right? That's how amazing Yeshua was. But that's over here as well. If you live on, if you fulfill your potential, if you leave on successors, be it your children, be it your Talmidim, and they carry on your legacy, it's as if the person is still alive. Right? This is usually what I say when I try to comfort people. When I try to comfort people and I go to pay a shiva call, you know, may you continue to carry on the legacy of your parents. Right? That's the idea. Right? So your parents, they passed physically, but if you continue on with their derech, so they continue to live on. Right? Yaakov Avinu lo meis, famous idea in the Midrash. Yaakov Avinu lo meis is because he had 12 sons, righteous sons. They continued on his legacy. That's what our job is. Another very nice idea I saw in the name of the Bala Turim. The Parsha begins with what words? Okay, Bar Mitzvah boy. Vayiyu. Oh, we got two Bar Mitzvah boys. Okay, what's the gematria of Vayiyu?
16, 21, 31, 37.
What is it?
37.
37.
How is it?
Vayihiyu. Okay? 37. The Bala Turim says, when he vayu chaye Sarah, what were the years of Sarah's life? The last 37 after Yitzhak was born. Yitzhak was born when she was 90. She died at 127. Vayu chaye Sarah, those last 37 years when she really lived. Right? Which fits in with different ideas like you have later on, we'll have in Chumash Bereishis, when Rachel says to Yaakov Avinu, I need a child. Give me a child. If not, I'm dead. Right, fits in very nicely that a woman feels I need a child. So the last 37 years, that was by Yuchaye Sarah. The Bala Turim. The Bala Turim is all about gematria. Okay? Nachama Leibowitz once told us that it said about the Bala Turim, he wrote his entire parish in one day. Some say it l'shvach, some say like, you know, it depends if you're a big fan of gematria or not. You know, is that like a big deal? Like, okay. But if you're into gematria, Bala Turim is the place to go. Okay. They wrote his whole commentary on Chumash in one day. That was the legend. And she said, and some say that's like a praise, and some said, because gematria is what, you know. So it depends if you're a fan of gematria or not.
But
he says Vayu is 37. That's what it means that she lived. Does 37, that's her. That's when she really lived. When Yitzhak was born to her, she had 37 years with her son. Okay? Now, Aram asks for permission from Ephron HaChiti to bury Sarah in the Marat HaMachpelah. Right? The Marat HaMachpelah means the double cave. I don't know when we were there, if anyone saw, there are like photographs and diagrams of what it looks like, because there were people that went down. You know, they dug down and went there. You see it's like this double cave, a cave within a cave. And that's the Marat HaMachpelah. And Ephron agrees to give it to Avram for free. And very weird thing, Avram insists to pay. Benny, would a Persian do that? Not a chance, right? What does it mean?
Actually, Persians don't take free stuff.
They don't take free stuff? Okay.
Something's fishy with it.
Yeah. Something's fishy. Okay, we stay away. So Avram says, I want to pay. Oh, what kind of Jewish business is that? So weird, right? You're giving it for free, and he's saying, no, I want to pay. Ephron charges him. Anyone remember?
400.
400. Arba me'ot kesef. Shekel kesef over le socher. Okay, what is this? Just to understand, the Gemara in Erechin says a field of produce is worth 50 silver coins. He asked for 8 times that value, and his field wasn't a field of produce. Nothing grew there. It was rocky area. That's why he made it into like a cemetery. Right. So just to get an idea of what kind of price he was asking for. This is what he's asking for, yeah.
Could you say that he charged 8 times because there's 8 couples in Moscow?
There weren't at the time.
True.
I'm just saying. Avram didn't want a one-time favor where then Ephron might regret what he did, but rather he wanted a permanent sale that would be with his family forever, and therefore he's willing to pay. According to Rabbeinu Yonah, very interesting idea. We're all familiar with the idea that Avram was tested 10 times. Eser Nisyonot. Most, now, It's interesting. It says it, but no one says what they are. Most Mefarshim say the last one is Akedat Yitzchak, but not Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah says buying the kever for Sarah Imenu was the last test. What kind of test is that? I heard Rabbi Yisachar Franz say this beautiful idea. The idea is, how do I deal with someone who, on the one hand, is trying to rip me off? How do I still maintain my integrity and act like a mensch? Part one. And part two, how do I continue to be a mensch when I'm going through the worst day in my life? All right, let's say, for example, you were coming to Israel, and first your flight got delayed. All right, someone was just over my house, and they told me their flight got delayed first like a few hours, then a few more, and then after being there for like 5 days, they go, okay, we're not taking off till tomorrow. They didn't put them up in a hotel. They didn't refund anything. And they're just like, okay. So it's the flight from hell. Then they get on the plane, and the plane was the worst ride ever. Turbulence. No one could sleep. It's bouncing around. And then you get to Israel, and you're waiting for your luggage, and everyone's getting their luggage, and you're seeing that same stupid black duffel bag going around for like an hour, and your luggage doesn't come out. Now you go to the baggage claims. How calm, how collected, how cool are you when you say, oh, excuse me, I just want to tell you my bags didn't come. Or you go, they're freaking after everything I want, right? Like, Avraham Avinu now, that's the day he's having times 10. Because the wife of his youth, his partner in Kiruv, and, throw this in, maybe he blames himself for her death, right, is now dead, and all you want to do is bury her, and here's this guy trying to rip you off. How many people would be a mensch that says, Avram, bow down to him, act courteously? Solomon probably would, but I don't know about the rest of us, right? So adjust his tie. So I'm saying this was the test of Avraham Avinu, and it's a very interesting test, you know, because we go through that daily. Tests that are one-time things, like people always say, oh, dying al Kiddush Hashem. Yeah, that's a big deal. Living al Kiddush Hashem, it's 24/7. And maybe that's the message of Rabbeinu Yonah. This is the type of thing that we go through, I don't say daily, but somewhat often. Someone's trying to rip us off, we're having a bad day, do we take it out on others? All right, I once went over, there's a rabbi here in the yeshiva, he always smiled. This guy had like 14 kids. I said, there's no way, now someone in your family didn't do something to annoy you. How in the world do you always smile? And I was so impressed with his answer. He said, I work very hard at it. It was beautiful. It wasn't like, oh, I'm just a cheerful person. It wasn't like that. He said, I work very hard on it. I don't want to take it out on anyone else. I work very hard on it. I was very impressed. That's what Avram did. Very impressive. Avram tells Ephron, he is a ger v'toshav amongst them. Ger means like a foreigner. Toshav is a resident. So, forgetting about like the usual interpretations, Rashi, Rav Soloveitchik has a beautiful idea. It says, so too, we have to always view ourselves, we Jews living in Chutz Laretz, as you Jews living in Chutz Laretz, but as a ger v'toshav. And he explained, on the one hand, we're a resident, and we share the responsibility towards its welfare. And therefore, we Jews, we get involved with the economy, and we take jobs to try to make the community and the place a better place. But on the other hand,